The ushers are passing out a short worksheet. So those of you who don't know me, I teach one of the adult Christian classes on Sunday morning, and I'm not a preacher, okay? You know, by occupation, I'm in sales. I do presentations, you know, I meet customers, much smaller setting, but I like having worksheets. I don't know, it's my kind of, what I feel comfortable with, so it's kind of put up with me, you know, there's a little prayer at the bottom you can take home with you, and I think, at least my hope is that you get something out of the next few minutes. What my plan is just spend a few minutes, and I just want to go over a few principles, you know, that I've learned over the years that has helped me that's helped me be successful in my work environment. And, you know, I'm not saying that this is exactly for everybody. I'm just saying it's something this has worked for me. And I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. I wouldn't be working where I'm working now if it wasn't for applying some of these principles in my own life. You know, I've been very fortunate to have the career path that I've been in. I've been very happy, but I know that I would not have the job or the occupation that I have now if it wasn't for applying, you know, some biblical principles that I believe God has shown me. So, the scripture verse. You know, about 2 weeks ago, I never really knew that there was a worldwide English version of the New Testament. And I found there was this portion of scripture. It's a very popular, or familiar portion of scripture. But this is what this portion of scripture says in the worldwide English. This is Colossians 3, 22 and 24. Servants, obey your boss in everything. Now, some translations talk about slaves and masters and things like that. But I think in this present day, you may feel like a slave where you work, but I think it's more like the boss type thing. So obey your boss in everything. Obey always, not only when he is looking at you, he or she is looking at you, as if you are pleasing a man or woman. Do it with all your heart because you respect the Lord. Whatever your work is, do it gladly. Do it as you would do it unto the Lord and not for people. You know you will get pay from the Lord, for you are the servants of the Lord Christ. So, if you have a pencil, pen, highlighter, magic marker, Sharpie, whatever, point number one. Okay, point number one is obey boss in everything. Okay, obey your boss in everything. Whatever words you want to put in there. Okay, the highlight is obey boss. Obey your boss in everything. Have you ever said or heard somebody say when their boss asked them to do something, I'm not going to do that? Okay? Or can you believe what so-and-so asked me to do? That's not my job. What did President Obama say? That wasn't in his pay scale. Okay? They don't pay me enough to do that. Have you ever said that or wanted to say that? Do you know that more than half of my job is doing things that is not on my job description? More than half. You know, because there were things that needed to be done, and so my boss asked me to do them, and I said, okay, I'll do them. Do you know that, and I'll tell you, just a couple weeks ago, I was in New Jersey. I do quite a bit of travel. I was in New Jersey, and I was by myself at the time, and I was sitting having dinner with one of the other guys, you know, getting ready for something. And I got a page from one of the executives. And his flight was delayed, and they were just coming in. Him and one of the sales assistants were coming in. Paged me and said, wanted me to bring them dinner. Okay? My first thought was, I'm not going to bring you dinner. Okay? That's not my job to go bring, you know. But, you know, I thought, okay, well, he's an executive. You know, so I did. They wanted sushi this, and they wanted it a certain way, and I'm trying to take notes. But I did it. Okay? And one of the sales assistants, I have my own challenges with. You know, it's like, there's some people that are just, they're not easy to get along with. I'm sure it's not me. It's got to be them, right? And so, but there's things. Bosses will ask us to do things, and we can either say, no, it's not my job. I don't get paid enough. I get paid too much, whatever. But you know something? When we do these things, it opens the door for other things. It builds a tremendous amount of trust I found over the years. You know, I have a whole lot more people telling me what to do than I have people that I can tell what to do. Does that make sense? There's a whole lot more people. You know, in all these years of work, you know, I think by now I should have more people I could tell what, you know, kind of pass some stuff, but it just doesn't work like that. I have more people. And being in sales, one of the things I learned is some of my key sales, my customers, I treat them like my bosses. I try to treat it even better. And, you know, we were having dinner in San Diego a few weeks back, and one of our customers, we just happened to be talking, and you kind of get to, so how are we doing? Yeah, that's common sales things. How are we doing? Okay. And she goes, you know, you guys provide great service. You guys, you guys have like gold service. We measure our other vendors against your service. And I thought, man, that's great. And the only thing different that we try to do is we try to treat them like they're our boss. And I'll tell you, if they're a key customer, that means, and you're in sales, that means they have a lot to do with the amount of money that goes in your pocket. Okay? And if you start thinking that there are people that God has sovereignly put over you. I've had bosses that I couldn't stand. Okay? And I've had bosses that I like. And the thing is that, you know, God sovereignly moves people in and out and their tasks. You see, are we going to obey what God has placed this person in our lives? So the first thing, obey your boss in everything. And you might say, well, what if he asked me to do something that's not scriptural? Okay, let's move to point number two. Okay, number two, respect the Lord. See where it says, okay, verse 22, servants, obey your boss in everything. Obey always, not only when he is looking at you as if you are pleasing a man. Do it with all your heart because you respect the Lord. Whatever your work is, do it gladly. Do it as you would do it unto the Lord and not for people. See, here's the balance. And let me give you an example. The company I work for, a telecommunications company, and I've been working for them for the past 13, almost 14 years. And they hired me to work here in the Orlando area, but they were based out of New Jersey. And from almost the very start, they were trying to get me to move to New Jersey. And if I were to obey my boss and everything, I would have packed up the family, sold my house, and we would have moved up to New Jersey. And I even had a vice president at one time that made it clear that he was going to slowly start downsizing the team with those who didn't live in New Jersey. But, you know, and just praying about it, you know, talking with Kathleen, talking with Pastor, just it wasn't God's will for us to move out of this area. And I'll tell you, one of the things that convinced me I wasn't to move to New Jersey is I went to an Assemblies of God church on a Wednesday night, and I saw how different the church was than what we have down here. And I saw, you know, I thought, you can't just assume you can go to another area and get what we have here. And so, you know, but God wanted me and my family to stay here. That was the respect of the Lord. Now, if you're a boss, and I'll tell you, being in sales, there were times when our, you know, certain sales executives wanted to take our customer to certain establishments, okay? And there were certain establishments that I just wasn't going to go to. And there were times that it was only by God's grace that I wasn't in a car heading to one of these places. You know, I would have taken a taxi back when I figured out what was going on. But, you know, but you will know. But 99% of the time, what your boss tells you to do, you need to do. Okay? Respect, obey your boss, yet respect the Lord. What is your reaction when you find out that your boss is gone for the day? Okay? What is your reaction? Yeah, ooh. Okay. You know, in Proverbs, the Bible says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food in the harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. You know, several years back, there was this move. I'm not sure how your workplaces go, but there was this move. They called a move from corporate offices to virtual offices. You know what a virtual office is? You work out of your house, okay? That happened to me. I've been working out of my house for the past 10 years. And I remember, and I could have gone either way, you know, because, I mean, I didn't care. But after I got a taste of working out of the house, it actually was a pretty good deal, you know. I did miss a lot of the office politics and stuff. I don't know, I kind of like the gossip, you know, going back and forth. But, you know, I'd have to find other ways to get it. But I remember there was one guy that I was sitting with, and he couldn't wait for the day that he could work out of his house, because he thought he would have made it by then. And you know, I knew what was happening. And you know, what happened is that I knew, you know, he wanted to work out of his house because then it was, you know, kind of goof off city. He could do anything he wanted, check in, play, work a few hours, and just play. Well, a funny thing happened is that I've only managed for about 6 months, maybe 9 months. And it so happens that during this 6 months, he actually worked for me. And he was working out of his house, and I knew what was going on. And the vice president told me that I needed to tell him that he was going to be losing his job. So that was a fun thing to do. And so, but what happened is before that happened, he found another job, and eventually he got packaged out of that job, you know, fired. Okay, packaged. So he got packaged out of that job. And then, you know, and what I kind of saw that whole thing was people know, bosses know when you're a goof off. And his boss, at the time before I was his boss, was up in New Jersey, 1,000 miles away. I mean, it resonates, it radiates from us when we can't be trusted. And I've seen a lot of people go down because they went from a corporate office to a virtual office, and they couldn't handle working out of the house. Okay, that was number two. Okay, number three. Okay, here's a fun one. Number three, work from your heart. Work from your heart. So verse 22, you know, midway through verse number two, it says, do it. Okay, another translation says, work, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Work at it with all your heart. Verse 23 says, do it gladly. You know, work to many people is a four-letter word. You know what I mean by that? Not just four-letter word, but you know what I mean? It's not a nice word, okay? Work. Do you know, listen to this. In 1964, the average work week was 38 hours a week. In 1999, it was 34 hours a week. The average work week was reduced by over 11% in that period of time. In 1910, the average retirement was, guess how much the average retirement was in 1910? What's that? The average retirement age. Did somebody say 80? No, 80. Well, what do you think it is? Okay, 74. Average retirement age, 1910. You know what it was in 2002? 40. I wish it was 40. It was 62. 62. So in that matter of time, 12 years. Now, I think by what happened in the stock market here lately, it might go back up to 74. Okay, but it has nothing to do with the desire to work. I think it's just, you know, for sustaining ourselves. Do you know that there was a recent survey that over 50% of the people now believe that the government owes them a job? Over 50%. I mean, listen to this. This was a parody that was written by two Englishmen after they converted to Christianity from communism. Listen to this. It's the Socialist 23rd Psalm. The government is my shepherd, therefore I need not work. It allows me to lie down on a good job. It leads me beside still factories. It destroys my initiative. It leads me in the paths of a parasite for political sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of laziness and deficit spending, I fear no evil, for the government is with me. It prepares an economic utopia for me by appropriating the earnings of my own grandchildren. It fills my head with false security. My inefficiency runneth over. Surely the government should care for me all the days of my life, and I shall live forever in fool's paradise. You know? And you know, our government is heading in many ways to this direction. But you know, it's very important that we have a very strong work ethic. Do you know that almost all of the niceties that we enjoy came about because people work? You know, I'm addicted to my BlackBerry. I got my internet on there. I got my texting. I got my email. I got my cell phone. I mean, this is like a virtual office on the road for me. But you know, it just didn't all of a sudden just kind of pop out of the sky one day. It became about because there were people who worked, and they worked hard, and they had ideas. I remember back in the 90s, there were companies called startups. You don't hear so much about them. And these were people, they worked for lower pay so that they would get stock options because they believed they had a better way of doing something, so then some bigger company would buy them out, and then they would become millionaires. And that happened. A lot of people became very wealthy off of this. It's called startups. And they worked very hard with very little guarantee. And a lot made very little money, and those companies went by the wayside, and they went to another startup. But it was because of those companies that we have a lot of the technology that we have today. The company that I work for, one of the areas that I support is building high-speed communications. So you know, when you go home and you look at those YouTube, and you want that YouTube to be fast, and maybe some night it's not that fast, well, you need to call your service provider and tell them they need Nortel Networks equipment, okay? Because that's why they don't have, you know, the performance that they need. And because, you know, and my customer is AT&T. And they do business with us, and they're wanting to do more business. If we hadn't filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy, they'd probably do more business with us. And they want us because we can build them bigger pipes so they can get more traffic, higher speed communications, so that your YouTube and you can watch TV online and all the rest of it. So we can have those conveniences. But it came about, and I know some of these guys, they work. They work very hard. They get an idea, and they think, man, there's a way that we can make this work. And they work, and they work, and they work. It's important that we don't lose a work ethic in this country. That's why so much is being imported now from other countries, because America doesn't want to work. And I can see that our government is even wanting to help with that transition from not having us work in even a greater way. But not just work. Look what this verse says. It says, do it or work with all of your heart. Work is not intended, in my mind, to be a laborious thing. I enjoy my job. And it's not because, you know, I'm really anything different. It's just that God puts a desire in my heart to do the work that I'm doing. It's part of the blessings of God. Nehemiah said that it was the joy of the Lord that gave him strength. And when we work with our heart, there's a joy that will begin to come. Do you know that I found that when our group was going through a lot of these downsizing, and one of the reasons that I still had a job was because nobody wanted to do the work that I was doing. And I enjoyed it. And I'm looking back like, I don't know why I enjoy this. It was because of God's work in my life. But it's a blessing. When we work, and we work at it with our heart, God gives us something the Bible calls grace. Grace is undeserved strength and ability to do His will. And He'll give that to any one of us so that we can prosper in our works. It's not going through the motions. It's doing our very best. It's not settling. It's being honest and ethical, hardworking, and believing God that there's a better way and God helping you with that better way. So work from your heart, number three. Number four. Okay, number four. Know that the Lord pays good. Some translations say that the Lord will reward you. Well, I kind of like the way the Worldwide English Translation said here. It says, no, you will get pay from the Lord. The Living Translation says, remember that it is the Lord Christ who is going to pay you, giving you your full portion of all He owns. God pays very well. And one of the things that's taken me several years to learn is that my provider is not my company. It's taken me a long time to realize that God is my provider, and He's using the company that I work for. And if I obey my boss, and I respect the Lord, and I work from my heart, then I can expect God to pay me well. Okay? And I have that attitude. God's going to pay me well. But how does God pay us? So that's these four things right here. You know, God may not, you know, all of a sudden, you know, drop untold thousands of dollars on your lap. In fact, during the technology heyday, there was this benefit. It was called stock options. Company kept giving me these stock options, and I was like, man, well, I tell you, you know, I'm going to be able to retire, you know, in about 4 or 5 years. I had my plan all laid out. I was going to have a few million dollars in the bank, and I was going to be set. Next thing I knew, the whole technology industry fell. All those things went away, and I was left with the tax indebtedness of this paper money that I never saw. It was one of these, It was something in the tax laws that was there as a protection so that if you made a lot of money, Uncle Sam was going to get a lot of your money, okay? But it was written in such a way that if you lost all this, that didn't mean you still didn't have to pay. So I owed the government a lot of money. It pretty much wiped out anything that we had in any kind of liquid savings, anything. And but I learned a lot from that, is that God was trying to teach us and me some principles that I didn't know. And part of this is what I'm going through, how to survive when they were laying off people and things were going kind of bleak around. I mean, God was trying to show me some things, and this is part of it as a result of that. So there's four things. So God, know that the Lord pays good. First, he provides for us. And I have found that God will meet my needs and some of my wants. And I'm happy with that. He's very good. He's a good God. He wants me and he wants you to make a contribution to society. It doesn't matter it doesn't matter. Almost every job makes a contribution to the society. But I remember having the mindset, I can't wait till I can retire and just sit back and do nothing. That's not really God's plan. He wants me to make a contribution to society. He wants you, if you're not retired, that is. He wants you, and even if you're retired, all the way, God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. But in the workforce, to make a contribution, and think about our jobs. I'm not mean to demean any type of job, but you may think, if you're sitting back there flipping burgers, you're not making a contribution to society. Well, hey, people got to eat. They got to eat, okay? Your job is cleaning this or digging that or fixing that or whatever. All those jobs, they're a contribution to society, all of them, making a contribution to society. Third thing, meeting the needs of others. How else are people's needs going to be met? God, like I mentioned earlier, wants to use us as a conduit to meeting other people's needs that are in need. Meeting the needs of others. And lastly, which I think is extremely important, is God pays us by giving us fulfillment and joy with our jobs. That's a blessing. The curse, God told Adam, you're going to work by the sweat of your brow. But Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law so that we can have fulfillment on what we're doing. I have great fulfillment in the job I do. I get yelled at. My customer, they blame me like it's my fault that something doesn't work and they don't have this in time and why am I charging so much? I'm the person. But I enjoy it. I don't know. Maybe call me sadistic or whatever. But, there's a joy that comes back. Do you know that there's 168 hours in a week? About a third of those are spent with our work. About a third, depending on how many hours you work. About a third. Do you think that God wants us to spend a third of our life in drudgery? I have a slightly different revelation that God would want us to be rewarded in that third. And then we spend about a third sleeping. So about two-thirds of our life is spent working and sleeping. And the other third of my life is spending whatever Kathleen tells me to do. So there's my life right there. So giving us great fulfillment. The Bible says that we are to know the hope of our calling. You know what the word hope means? It means confident expectation for good. So this scripture says that we should know that purpose, that calling in our life that brings us hope, a confident expectation for good in our lives. And you know, it doesn't matter what you do. It's a blessing from God to have that hope. Because like I mentioned to you, one of the reasons why I have my job is because there were so many, most of the other guys didn't want to do what I was doing. You know, it's because of God's grace and his goodness in our lives. And you know, let me kind of close with this story. You know, I don't know how many of us have watched the movie Chariots of Fire. Remember that movie? It's been several years ago. And, you know, it's basically centered around two runners. There was a runner, Harold Abrams, and another one, Eric Liddell, or Liddell. And so this guy, Harold Abrams, they both ended up winning Olympic gold medals. But one, this guy Abrams, won it pretty much for himself. And this movie showed the toil and really the agony that this man really lived with, because his whole life was centered really around himself. Well, Eric Liddell, he had a calling to be a missionary to China. And this was just a phase of his life that God had allowed him to do. And what he said was, when I run, I feel God's presence. That's in the movie. When I run, I feel God's presence. And the things that God has us to do. Now, I can't say that I feel God's presence, you know, when I'm at work. But I know that I'm doing what God has called me to do. And it makes a big difference when the joy of the Lord is my strength than waking up Monday morning and already thinking about how many hours is it till Saturday again or my next day off. That's no way to live. God's got a better plan. He's got a greater purpose for each one of our lives. And so what I want to do, just as I close, I mean, I know that there's people in our church, you know, some of you feel like maybe you're in a dead-end job. Some of you may be between jobs, whatever the reason is, you know. And you know, God's got a plan for you. And I just want to take the last 2 minutes, and let's pray, and then we're just going to close. And I think I'm actually get down a few minutes early tonight. But I'm not going to ask anybody, you know, to do anything, you know, weird or anything, but you know the situation that you're in. You know if you're in a job that's you're struggling with. You know if you need a job. You know if you need a better job. You know your situation. And you know something? The Holy Spirit knows even more than you know. Okay? He's got a bigger picture of things. And he knows what's coming down the pike. And if all we need to do is trust in him and believe him and hang in there, we'll see God's plans and his purposes in our lives. So let's pray. So Father, I thank you and I praise you.